easy song that simply says, bless the Lord with me. Our God is a great God, and he's an awesome God. Just listen to these words. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. It's gonna bless the Lord with me. Everybody say it. Bless the Lord with me. Come on and say it.
Bless the Lord with me.
Come on and say it.
Hey. Bless the Lord with me.
He's a real good God. Say bless. Bless the Lord with me.
Bless the Lord with me.
He's a mighty God. Yes, he is.
Bless the Lord with me.
Come on and bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord with me.
Now come on, everybody. Let's give God praise in here. For this is a brand new day he's made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I want you to find somebody next to you and ask them this question. Say, will you bless the Lord with me? We're going to do it together. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord with me.
Come on and bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord with me.
I will magnify the Lord.
Bless the Lord with me.
Come on and bless the Lord with
bless
me.
The Lord with me.
Let's say it again. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord with me.
Oh, bless the Lord at all times.
Bless the Lord with me.
And his praise shall be in whose mouth?
Bless
God.
Bless the Lord.
Now one more time, let's give him praise. He is our God. He is our King. He reigns. Let's take it up. Hey, this time we're going to put those hands together all over the building. Some of you are already clapping. So let's tell them, praise team, clap your hands.
Clap your hands with me.
Come on and clap those hands with me.
Your hands with me.
Oh, clap those hands with me.
Your hands with me.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you breathe. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship. Oh, we worship you.
Starts to tremble at the light that you bring when you walk into the room. Every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
Never stop.
Never stop.
Never. you praise.
All this is for you, Jesus.
We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you.
All this is for you, Jesus.
We bless you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. All this
is for you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop praising. He is worthy. The song we just sang said, when you walk into the room, Jesus, everything changes. If there's anything that you need to be changed in your life this morning, open up your mouth and worship him. There is a shift in your praise. Hallelujah. We worship God. You're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah.
There's nothing worth more that can never come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is ended,
Jesus,
in your presence, Lord, come on and sing, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
This is our prayer this morning.
Let us become more aware of your presence.
Asking the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants to do here. What that means is if he asks you to do something, are you willing to do it? You see, when we give him the freedom and liberty to come into the place, that means we're saying, Holy Spirit, whatever you ask me to do, I'm willing to do whatever you want. Maybe he's spoken to your heart that you need to lift your hands. Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe he's speaking to your heart that you need to come to the front of the altar and grab some rug. Maybe he's spoken to your heart that you just need to shut yourself down and just you and him step away from all your scenario. Today, the reality is if we're surrendering to the Holy Spirit, that means we're saying, whatever you want to do through me, Holy Spirit, to worship the Father, I'm willing to do. Sometimes that means a little bit more than we want to do. Sometimes we've had a bad morning and we come to church and it's like, well, I'm just in survival mode. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, no, no. If I'm here, there is no survival mode. If I'm here, there's nothing that I cannot accomplish. But are you willing to surrender enough to allow me to work that through you? So I want to sing that again. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit for you. Who cares about anybody else? Just for you. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do in welcoming your presence?
As the crowds thronged Jesus, as we are today, we're just thronging him, we're in his presence. There was one difference. There was a woman whose faith caused her to reach out and touch the hem of God's garment. And in that, he looked at her and said, so be it unto you as is your faith. So today, as we're all around, there was one woman that really got what she had come for. so be it unto you as is your faith today. As we sing this, reach out and touch the hem. Don't leave just thronging his presence. Touch the hem of his garment and receive as is unto your faith.
Holy Spirit, so many times I wonder what would happen if you actually flooded this room. What we would do with ourselves. How we would react. How would we respond if you actually opened the floodgates and poured yourself out? Lord, I know some would be afraid. Some would be just enthralled. Some would stand there not knowing because they've never even experienced you. Holy Spirit, we need you. And without you, it's a worthless service. We're inviting you because we want you to do what you do best, and that is show the love of God in this place. Change our lives. You know what? We don't want religion. We want you. We want you, Jesus. We want you, Jesus. We lay everything else down. Lord, we want to be able to pray like Paul said, I count it all dung just to know Jesus. We want to know you. And this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. We want to know you. Lord, you know our lives are all entangled and messed up at times. But Holy Spirit, you can untangle things like nobody. We pray that you just get our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That we will run this race and that we will win. But we can't do it without your presence. We declare like Moses said, if your presence doesn't go before us, we're not going anywhere. We're going nowhere. For without you, there's no need to take a step. So Holy Spirit, please, will you? Will you pour yourself out? Will you just release yourself in this place? Please, Holy Spirit. From the back to the front, to every classroom that's filled with child and children. We ask that you will penetrate, permeate, overwhelm us with the presence of heaven. In Jesus' name. We need you. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Flood us. You know, my prayer is that every one of us will go out in the Holy Spirit at the exact same time in the same sanctuary. And Lord, I know for you that's nothing. I want to see, oh God, such a move from you in our lives, in our response. Is yea and amen. For we want you and need you. Lord, even over live stream right now, we release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Right through the television, right through the computer. Change lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord's healing somebody from myopathy. I had to look that up. It just says a degeneration of muscle, but it's on your left-hand side, knee down. I don't understand it. All I know is when I kept feeling that, I just got myopathy. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that this cursed disease has to come out of the body of a child of God. You foul spirit, I command you to come off them right now in Jesus' name. And I command their body to respond to the word of heaven right now. Disease, go in Jesus' name. There's also a person on your left-hand side, on your left, between your knee and your ankle. It feels like there's, right next to the bone, it feels like there's a stabbing on the outer section, And I just release right now, Lord, whatever the cause of that is, I rebuke it, command it to come out in the name of Jesus. This person on your right, your left hand jaw, upper jaw, up into the joint, Lord's healing you right now in the name of Jesus. God, I just thank you, Lord, that there's not one thing that's too big. Not one thing that's too big. God, we come against every sickness and disease in the children of God in this house. Hear me now. According to the word of heaven, according to the kingdom of God, you have no right in the children. It is their right to be healed. That's what Jesus paid for. So I release healing right now in Jesus' name in this room. If that's you, start receiving it right now. Start thanking him for your healing right now where you are. Lord, we don't need anybody to touch us physically. You touch us supernaturally. Release the power of the spoken word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. How many of you love the Lord? Why don't you go back, and on your way back to your chair, why don't you meet four or five folks that you don't know? Now, don't be a snob. Don't be a snob. That's right, Dave Morgan. Don't be a snob. Go find somebody.
Grace and peace, this is Pastor Johnson, and I'm excited to tell you about some things that are happening here at His Tabernacle Church. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. We have adult education that has been prepared just for you. You would do yourself a favor to go into the lobby and go to the tables that we have set up and ask for a brochure on our adult education. It stems from rock solid faith, to divorce care, to healing journey. We have a plethora of classes that can help you. I'm asking you, if you want to further your understanding in God and understand who you are, sign up for adult education under the leadership of that great Pastor Banfield. We're looking forward to see you sign up.
Hey church, it's that time of year again. We're doing the Baby Bottle Drive. This is to support the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center. This is a pro-life organization, and they help young people make tough decisions in tough times. They provide so much for our community, and it's our turn to give back. This is how you get involved. You go to the hub, you grab an empty baby bottle. All the way up until Father's Day, you continue to fill this. If you fill it up, come back, grab another empty one for us, and then turn all the baby bottles in by Father's Day so that we can help support this great organization. Make sure you get your baby bottle today.
Three. Are you serious? Right now I'm doing a commercial and you gotta drive by here? What's wrong with you? Sorry, peeps, we got a loud stinking truck behind us. Hey HT family, it's that time of year again. We're having our annual picnic at the Harris Hill Youth Camp. It's gonna be June 5th. So after church service, again, I rebuke you. We're starting at 1 o'clock or there so after or somewhere in that ballpark. And drinks. Bring some games along while you're at it. Like disc golf. Or, you know, maybe horseshoes or something. You know, frisbees, kickball, foosball. We're gonna get started right after church services, so you wanna make sure that you're bringing a dish to pass. It's gotta be like, you know, supersized, so we can come together as a family, enjoy each other, and make sure you bring some games to share that we can celebrate and become a part of that fellowship. We wanna be able to celebrate and be able to enjoy each other, because we want to have fun. So be there June 5th for our annual church picnic, again at Harris Hill Youth Camp.
Hey guys, we just want to remind you about the Memorial Day parades. May 30th, there's two of them, one in Elmira at 10 a.m. and one in Horseheads at 2 p.m. Make sure you bring your friends and family. We hope to see you there.
Turning on the microphone makes it work better. Praise the Lord. We also have one more thing that's happening. We want to make sure that you know we have a new class beginning. Pastor Banfield has a new course beginning, and it's on blended families. How many of you know that blended families can be a challenge? How many of you had a challenge with a blended family? Awesome. We have a class creating just for you. So the Barretts will be holding this on Tuesday nights at Wednesday nights at Wednesday night at 7 p.m. right here starting this week? June 1st. So turn to someone and say June 1st, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. right here at His Tabernacle Family Church. This will help you with your blended family. It's a phenomenal course. It's actually proctored, and you're going to love the video, the learning, the developing. We've had a great time. We had divorce care this semester. We just purchased divorce care for children. We're having that looked at, and we're going to be, Pastor Banfield, in the future, if that's something that his team would like to do, we'll be launching also divorce care for children. Why? Because we're in a scenario in a world today that we have a lot of blended families and a lot of divorce, and we need people healed up. Turn to someone and say, if you're divorced, two halves don't make a whole, get healed up. Amen? I said amen. So let's give the Barretts a hand clap. June 1st, Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Very good. We want to welcome all of the guests at His Tabernacle Family Church. If this is your very first week at His Tabernacle, we want to honor you. We're not going to make you stand. We're not going to embarrass you. But if you're a first-time guest, if you could raise your hand, we have a gift for you. We want to bless you this morning. Are there any first-time guests at His Tabernacle Family Church? Very good. We see a few. There we go. Very good. Welcome. 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 Anybody else this morning? First time guest. Very good. Right there. Front row left. Very good. Very. Hi, honey. How are you? Glad you're here. Here comes Miss Pam. She's running down with her beautiful hair, just waving at everybody. Glory to God. Let's give all of our guests a hand clap this morning. Now, listen, what would happen if next week every one of you brought just one guest? If every one of you just brought one guest next week, what would happen? I challenge you, HT plus one. Just bring one. We're not asking you to fill your row. Everybody just bring one guest next week. They'll not leave here going, oh, my goodness, that was the worst experience in the world. They'll love being in the presence of God. So everybody turn to someone and say, just one. Come on, everybody bring just one next week. We know that you'll be blessed. We want to welcome all of our online campus, if you'll give them a hand clap this morning as well. Thank you so much for being with us. We love you. We know there are folks that are trying to get back here. We had a few motorcyclists head down there driving back this morning from Virginia in the rain. And so we're just praying that God will keep them safe. If not, have them jump on live stream so they can participate with the service. We just want you to know we love you this morning. Thank you for being at His Tabernacle Family Church.
Amen. As we enter into this time of tithe and offering, I love sharing God's kingdom principles with all of you. I want every one of God's children to be blessed and successful in their finances. It's God's desire. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. And I want to read a couple scriptures to you this morning. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, "For God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant and later on good crops to harvest and eat, will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from its harvest." You see, God wants us to be prosperous because he wants us to be able to give more seed from our harvest. He wants us to be able to give more and plant more seed. You know, this church, we take what God brings in and we are putting it back out there. We're putting it into our community. We have Matthew 25. We're doing that 2 times a week now. We went from having 7 children to having too many for one night. So now we're doing feeding the children, clothing them, loving them, giving them the word of God, giving them consistency 2 times a week. This past weekend, right now actually, currently, the youth are at an encounter weekend. They have had a phenomenal time. You're going to see during the offering, we're going to play a video of their time, and they will be in second service, but they have had a powerful time. And this happens because of your seed, because of your giving and your sowing. I'm telling you, there are 63 young people that otherwise would not have the opportunity to have these marked moments with God that will change them forever. They will never be able to. We are changing this culture, amen? And it's because of our seed, and God gives it to us so that he gives us that harvest, not only so that we can eat and have more and more, but so that we can have more and more seed to then harvest in the ground. We're going to expand this thing. We'll be doing Matthew 25 more than Wednesdays and Thursdays. We will have a dream center. We will have facilities. We will reach this community. We will change this culture. They will not continue in the same old cycle. We've drawn a line in the sand. And our finances, our seed, enable this to happen. It is powerful. So are you ready this morning with your tithe and your offering? You know, the tithe is holy. That 10%, that's holy to God. The seed is above the tithe. It's what God gives us in that harvest. Don't eat all of that seed. Let's get ready to plant some in good ground so that God can change this region. Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God. And remember this morning, as you're bringing your tithe up, to look at the screens so that you can get a visual of what your seed has been able to accomplish even in just one weekend. Let's make our declaration, Deuteronomy 28. It says, "If I obey, oh, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They have tripped me up because I'm a child of God." Now declare it, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithe and your seed before the Lord and watch the screens.
Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
The greatest thing you can do is grow in Jesus. and purpose and love, those things are much more attractive than any belt, than any attitude, than any Facebook like. But we chase after the wrong things in our present too often.
The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with you.
Is awesome, isn't it? You know what's amazing? I just got to say this. It was amazing when we started reaching out to the community how many people decided not to return to the church. It was amazing when we started busing in children how many, even many children, many families decided that they no longer wanted to continue at the church because they didn't want their children around those type of individuals. I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves everybody. Can I hear an amen? And the only way to bring change is to bring them. And that's what Jesus did. He said, I came to seek and to save them which are lost. He didn't come to sit and to save. Jesus came to go after people because he loves them. Right now, our young people, I'm so excited about the teenagers and what God is doing with our teenagers. They are so in love with Jesus. You know, I remember in when we first began, it was somewhat of a tumultuous time, where we had a few brawls and people would get punched and we had kids kicked out and all this. It was pretty intense. But when they come in now, it's amazing. There's 80 to 120 children, young people, I should say, teenagers, in this room on a Thursday night with their hands lifted high, worshiping Jesus, going home and bringing a message of the truth of the kingdom. So I don't know. I just want you to recognize that the world knows what we're doing here. I just saw a man yesterday, and I talked with him, and I've talked to other people recently. People know what God is doing through you. Turn to someone and say, thank God for you. We are truly making impact on this entire region. We're not just a church sitting in the middle of a cornfield. You see, today, I want you to recognize that the reason that I am here is because God has sent us. And the reason that God has sent us is not to build a church, but to build the kingdom of God. But seek ye first the the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. The truth is that we've got to be kingdom-minded. Last week we talked about the trees and how a tree that is not planted is one that will never produce the fruit it's called to do. And how many believers have never been planted in a church? They've never married a vision. They've never gotten themselves into the position where they're going to the house of the Lord, and that is where they're investing their time. That is where they're investing their finances. That is where they're investing their life. God is calling you to get planted. Turn to someone and say, get planted in the kingdom. You see, the Lord wants to remind us, if you're not going to get planted, then you're always going to be transient. If you're transient, it means that your root system will never become and be solid in Christ. Today, I want to remind you of this, that it's never about the bark, it's always about the fruit. It's never about the bark, it's always about the fruit. The purpose of every seed is there is life in the seed. The purpose of every life in the seed is to bring forth fruit. There's a necessity to recognize that fruit is an automatic response to every seed that we have. Whether it be fruit of death or fruit of life, the truth is that we are planting at all times. We must recognize that our lives are seed, and the Lord is calling us to be people that are going to plant our lives. When we plant our lives, then fruit can start to come. The challenge in today's reality of church is that so many of us go to church, we don't even know the person that we're sitting next to. Some of us have come to this church for 10 years, have still never been planted. Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you turn to the neighbor next to you that you don't know and give them your name and say, it's so very good to know my neighbor. Our verse for the year is found in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, and it says this. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit. Everybody shout fruit. Shout fruit. Shout fruit. Shall bring forth its fruit, which means this. The fruit is already in the tree. You see, today you are not some accident. You're not just some person that kind of meandered on this planet. You're not some. I've studied different religions, and there's this one where there's a cleansing, and then they drop you into the ocean, and you are now a living spirit that's floating on the ocean that will be a person and soon shall be. Yes. Dianetics. You just need to read it. It's really interesting. Here we are. It's amazing. We recognize that so many people just live life by happenstance, by accident. But today you need to recognize that God purposed you, that you are a planned individual, that the Lord didn't say, whoops, another one went by. No, you are expressly important to the kingdom of God. And you are a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that shall bring forth its, that shall bring forth its, that shall bring forth its, whose leaf shall never wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. You see, today I want to talk to you about the reality of who you are. The fact is that there are many different types of fruit, yes? How many of you like oranges? How many of you don't like oranges? Some don't like oranges. How many of you like apples? How many of you don't like apples? Well, you know, we talked about how many types of apples there are. I believe over 11,000 types of apples. How many of you like pears? How many of you don't like pears? Some of you just don't like fruit at all. How many of you like bananas? Oh, look at all, that's the most hands. How many of you don't like bananas? How many of you don't have never eaten a banana? I was going to give you one. All right. There's so many different types of fruit. We have so many different types of flowers. Our life is just saturated and stimulated. Even now, at this very moment, when you drive by the highway, I smelled it the other day. We went on a trip, the staff bought my wife a fishing trip for Mother's Day. And did you see the 10-pound bass she caught the other day on a fly rod? What a beast that was. But we're driving up near Pulaski on the Harley, and I went by a bush, and I hit her, and I said, "That's the bush." You could smell the wild roses. You see, that tree was created to bring forth that aroma. Another tree is not going to bring forth that aroma. That bush was created in that seed. The very purpose of that seed was that aroma. I'm here to tell you today, you and I must grab ourselves and say, "I know that I am the seed of heaven. I know that I am the seed of God. I know that I'm a person of great purpose. But yet is there fruit on my tree?" This is where I talked to one man one time, and he said, "Yeah, I've been saved about 40 years, never done anything for the Lord." The fact is that we are called to be here for a reason. Every tree has a great purpose. Whether it be shade, whether it be fruit, no matter what it is, every tree, every seed has the very distinct purpose already pre-programmed inside of it. And I'm here to tell you, God says this about you: "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." It is imperative that we recognize that we have been called to be fruit producers. Now, have you ever had a tree that did not produce fruit? Have you ever had a tree that didn't bring forth leaves? Have you ever had a tree that, well, my sister ran over one, my little sister, Kimmy Kay. My father just planted probably about 6 or 7 apple trees in our yard. And my sister Kimmy that day was riding the lawnmower, and she ran over one of those trees. And my father strived to bring that life back to that tree. But guess what? The limbs dried up, and it never produced fruit. So what did my father do? Is my father cut that tree down. Why? Because it was taking up space that could have been used for another. Why? Because it did not produce. It did not produce. We all need to recognize that God has a plan for your life, and that your job and my job is to produce. Come on, tell somebody, "I'm a fruit producer." Now, some of you might be bananas. Now, we won't get into that one. That's a whole other thing. Some of you might be a pear. I have a shape of a pear. Some of you might be an apple. Some of you might be an orange. Some of you might be an oak tree. Some of you might, listen, there are so many different opportunities to declare what we might be. But God knows who we are. He said, "Before I ever formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you." You see, today, if we don't recognize this, then we're just going to keep meandering, and we're going to come to church. And I'm glad you come to the building. But the fact is that we've not been called to come to the building. We've been called to get planted in the vision. And when you get planted in the vision, something happens to your tree. All of a sudden, the roots are set free, and they're able to grow. And then what occurs after that, as it's being manicured and as God is watering it and taking good care of it, it will then produce fruit so that not you can enjoy it, but that others can enjoy what he has in your life. You see, without you, somebody is not going to get the nutrients they need. And a lot of us don't think that way. A lot of us think in the mindset of, "Well, you know, I'm just another person. I go to the church. No one really knows my name. I really don't have great importance. I'm just kind of there." And that is a lie from hell. You are so imperative to the purposes of God. If you weren't imperative, you wouldn't be here. I'm not talking in the building. You wouldn't be alive. You're alive because God's got a plan for you. You're alive because you're important to the purposes of heaven. You're alive because God says there are people that only you can touch. Yet if we don't start producing fruit, then what can we give them when they come? See, that is the real big thing. I don't eat leaves. Does anybody eat leaves? I really don't. I hate lettuce. I don't go to an apple tree and say, "Wow, you know, where's the apple? There it is." And say, "Well, you know, the apple looks good, but I'd rather eat the leaf." I don't walk up and take an orange leaf and start eating it. In fact, I don't even eat the peel. But many of us are not fruit producing. We've been people that have come to the house of God, and we know that God's given us purpose, and the Lord just wants to challenge you today. Not challenge you to make you feel badly, but to challenge you because without us recognizing how important we are, then we'll never put our hand to the plow. And if we don't put our hand to the plow, then we'll never produce fruit. And if we don't produce fruit, then there is a great price to pay. Why? Because we've not been put here to suck air. We're not here just to hang out in the orchard. We're here because God's got a purpose for your life. Turn to someone and say, you are distinctly purposed. Matthew chapter 25 talks about the parable of the talents. It is a powerful principle, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time. In fact, this morning, I'm going to strive to be short. This message, and I very rarely preach expositorially, but today I'm going to do that. And the Bible says this in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." The first thing I want you to recognize is this. For the kingdom of heaven is like. Many times we read over that little passage. But what is God saying? Remember, this is in red letters in your Bible. That means Jesus said this. Why did Jesus say the kingdom of heaven is like? Well, we all know, as we've been talking about all last year, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. So when Jesus makes the declaration, the kingdom of heaven is like, he's saying, this is how the government of heaven works. Wouldn't it be horrible if you got a job, let's just say you have a job, and you went and they gave you a task, you did your task to the best of your ability, you completed it with pride, and you went and the boss said, well, that's really not what I wanted you to do. That's not what the job was. But you thought that's what the job was. You were secure in knowing that you were going in this direction. But when the end came, you recognized that you did not do what the boss wanted you to do simply because you did not know. You did to the best of your ability, but you did not accomplish it. Why? Because you did not understand the task. What I love about the Word of God, turn to someone and say, the Word keeps me from wondering. You see, we don't need to wonder what the purpose of God is. For the kingdom of heaven is like, this is what it's saying. If you want to know how God thinks, if you want to know how God's kingdom runs, if you want to know what God is going to say when the end comes, when we stand before him, this is what he says is going to happen. We don't have to wonder. So many people say, well, you know, I don't understand. If you don't understand, read the Word. For the kingdom of heaven is like, this is how God works. This is how God thinks. This is what will happen. You know what I love so much? We've talked about this so in depth this year. Is it really doesn't matter what you and I think God should do. We're not the king. We're not the Lord. We're not the owner. Remember, the word Lord is the word for owner. God is the owner. We know that every king has a kingdom, and every kingdom is established on governments, and all government is established upon a constitution, and the constitution is the word of God, and God's kingdom shall come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and it will be brought forth in some dimension through the people that are the trees that are planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf shall not wither, who will bring forth fruit, and whatever they do shall prosper. We must recognize that God is not asking us to live on accident, but he's saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is how I'm working. Please pay attention to me. This is the key. Verse 15, he says, the owner, the Lord. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each one according to his own ability. And immediately he went in on a journey. And when he received the 5 talents, went and traded them and made another 5 talents. To the other 2 more. But he received one who went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. I want you to see this. That you and I have been so intricately planned that even the gifts that you have were not yours that you just got. God said, I made you so detailed that I gave you your personality. You know, I met a person one time, they said, well, Pastor, I don't want to get saved because then I can't be me anymore. No, I don't. I said, no, you don't get it. You not only can be you, but you are the enhanced you. Jesus made you you, man. You are so imperative. I love what the word says, that fearfully and wonderfully made. Every part of your personality. How many of you just like to laugh a lot? How many of you are the quiet person? How many of you are like the irritant? How many of you, you just think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You are like detail engineer oriented. Whoa, Jesus. How many of you are like scatterbrain? Hang on for the ride. We'll get through this thing somehow. How many of you just don't care? Don't raise your hand. But you see, this is all of us. We recognize that everybody around us are different. How many of you, when you got married, recognized that the female was different from the male? Amen. Amen. I got a witness, a standing witness. Listen, we are so different. We are so unique. Yet so many of us, we look at our uniqueness as our bad thing. You know what I love about the different flags on the wall, and I know there are three more that we need to add, is it shows diversity. Diversity is not weakness. Diversity is strength. Can I hear an amen? Because if everything was the same fruit tree, then we'd all get bored real quick. But God has made us so unique and so distinct, and he put within us his seed. Oh, I love the seed of heaven, because immediately you know that the seed of heaven will never fail if it's planted correctly. God has so empowered you and I to be people of great influence, to be people that are going to make a difference. You know, this is one thing that if we don't get a hold of, then we take to ourselves and we look at our personality that God gave us and say, well, this is just me. Well, you know, I guess this is just me. Well, you know, maybe I'm not as good as so-and-so. Listen, you should never compare yourself with another individual, because God didn't make you that other individual. He made you you. I said, God made you you. But we recognize that. We recognize that that gift that he gave you is not yours. The personality he gave you is not yours. It's his. How you look at things, he put that within you. Listen, that wasn't just what you and I got a hold of. God said, I need Michael Spencer, born in Gardner, Massachusetts, on April 2nd, 1966, at 12:30 a.m., he is going to cause a lot of trouble. And in 2016, he's going to be standing before a congregation preaching my gospel. You see, this is the reality of recognizing it doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters what God sees. And God sees you successful. God sees his tree producing fruit. God sees you as so powerfully and importantly made. We've got to start seeing ourselves through the eyes of God. For the orchard, the man, the husbandman of the orchard, sees his orchard as a great fruit-producing product. Can I hear an amen? You see, each one of us, the moment we gave ourselves to Jesus, we were bought with a price. So many of us believers, we love Jesus enough to go to heaven, but we don't want to give him our life. We trust God. Listen, we trust God with going to heaven, but we can't trust God with our finances. We trust God with our soul, but we won't trust God with our life. God is saying, no, listen, I only have the best interest for you. I only want to see that seed that I, before the foundations of the earth, said, let there be, and there was. I saw you. I planned you. I purposed you. I know what kind of tree you're supposed to be. I know how much fruit will be on your limbs. I know what I've called you to be. You see, this is the important part. When we start understanding who God has called us to be, our life transforms because we no longer see ourselves through the eyes of man. We start seeing ourselves through the eyes of God. And when we see ourselves through the eyes of the creator of the seed, then there's no way to see ourselves as failure, but only as success. Yes, there are a few rotten apples on our tree. Yes, we got some worms. Oh, but God, he can take care of that. Can I hear an amen? See, the Lord just wants you to know that you are so powerfully important this morning and that he's called you to produce fruit. And you see, today, what I want you to see about these three people was this one simple thing. He gave one 5, he gave one 2, and he gave one 1. Now, this is important. He gave them according to their skill. This is why you can't compare yourselves. You know, there are people that are in ministry that have churches of 10,000 and 20,000 and 30,000. And, you know, there are pastors and evangelists that travel the world, and they've got this jet and that jet. And it's very easy to see, you know, the crowds they have and the television ministries they have. And many times I've found many of my friends, they look at those people and they say, well, I can never be as big as they are. But God never called you to be them. He called you to be you. And in that, when your tree reaches its full potential, I want you to recognize that God will always bring absolute joy and peace. You know, I found this one man. I was sharing this with the pastors one day. I had a man call me from Waverly. He says, Pastor, can I have lunch with you? And I said, absolutely. He said, well, I went down. He was buying lunch. That was nice. And he said, I don't understand. He said, you know, we started our church the very same week. He said, I've got 5, and at that point, I think we had 150. He said, why is it that I have 5 and you have 150? And I said, you know something, let me ask you a question. I said, when was the most satisfying time of your ministry? And he said to me, it's when I was a children's pastor. He said, I loved working in children's ministry. He said, I just loved sowing into the young men and young women and seeing them thrive and seeing them grow and teaching them to pray. And I said, listen, I'm going to offer you $65,000 to come work at his tabernacle for as a children's pastor. Are you in? And he goes, absolutely. And I said, then you've never been called a senior pastor. You're trying to wear somebody else's coat. You're trying to be somebody else's tree. You can't be somebody else's tree. And I wasn't offering him $65,000. I was just making a point. But here's the point. The day we start comparing ourselves with other individuals, we then start taking lobs off of our own tree and trying to graft in somebody else. The grafter is God. If he wants something else in your life, he'll graft it into you. Can I hear an amen? But the fruit that he has created you to be, that seed has been programmed to succeed. And today we've got to ask ourselves, what kind of fruit is my life producing for the kingdom of God? My wife preached a message way back in the 90s, and it was this: only the things that are done for Christ will last. When we stand before our King, you see, this is what happened. He gave one 5, he gave another 2, he gave another 1. When the Lord, the owner, came back from his journey, there was a reckoning. What's a reckoning? A reckoning means that there is accountability. A reckoning means that you'll be held accountable for what you've been given. And you see, this is what many of us don't recognize because we don't see ourselves any more than just Christianettes that go to a church and we pop in every once in a while. But God wants a revelation to come to your spirit that God hasn't called you to be a little Christianette. He's called you to be a son and daughter of God. He's called you to be a tree that's planted by the waters whose leaf will never wither. And God will always bring prosperity. But the only way that can happen is if he recognize you. Do you recognize that 3 different amounts were given? The first guy was given over $9,800. The next guy was giving him $5,000+. The next guy was only giving like $1,800 or $1,900. It doesn't matter what you were given. The point of this whole talent, parable of the talent, wasn't how much you gave. It's what you did with what you were given from the owner. Every one of us have been given gifts. Every one of us have been given talents. Every one of us have been given responsibility. And God is saying, what type of fruit are you producing for my glory? You see, the one, when he came back, he said, sir, I did things and I gave you five back. So you gave me five, I'm giving you an extra five, that's 10. The other guy came back and he said, you gave me two, I reproduced two, I'm giving you back four. And the Lord said this to these two. He said, listen, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He never focused on what he gave them or what they gave him. Because it wasn't how much it was what they did with what they had. This is all about people of God being faithful to the gifts that God has given them. And God is calling us to be faithful with the tree that he's called us to be. And whether it's an apple tree, whether it's an orange tree, a banana tree, whether it's a pear tree, whether it's a rose tree, it doesn't matter what you are. It matters what are you doing with the gifts that he has given you. Can I hear an amen? You see, this is the real question. I want to remind you of the very first verse. Are you ready? This is how the kingdom of heaven works. Which means this. God is saying to his children, you want to know how I think? Do you want to know how I'm going to reckon with you? I'm going to reckon with you this way. It doesn't matter what America does. It doesn't matter what your family does. It doesn't matter your own human concepts. It matters how the kingdom of heaven runs. And the king, the owner, is saying, I'm going to go away on a long journey. I'm going to pass a baton to you. Here is some of my wealth that I'm giving and implanting in you. This is the seed that I'm putting in your life. And I'm coming back someday. And when I come back, I'm going to look at the fruit on the tree that I've given you the seed to produce. And I want to see what's going to come from it. That makes us all a little uncomfortable. Can I hear an amen? Because we'd rather live the case, sarah, sarah. We'd rather have no accountability. We'd rather not have anybody hold us to judgment. Am I all by myself preaching this morning? 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says this, now little children, abide in me, and when he appears, he may have confidence and not be ashamed before Jesus at his coming. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So here's the issue. And I think this is the most difficult part of really becoming a believer. How many of you know some people that are really losers? How many of you know somebody that you would never want to be like? You know what's amazing? I'm as guilty as everybody. It's really easy to judge other people. The hardest thing is judging ourselves. We judge other people according to their attitude and according to some of the things that they do, but we always look at ourselves and we look at our own hearts. Well, I'm a nice person. I'm a nice individual. And God is saying, listen, it's not just about being a nice person. I put these gifts in you. I put the seed of my purpose in your life, and that seed has been programmed to automatically produce great success. And if you're going to put that seed in good ground and allow me to get you planted in the vision, then I will. will produce a tree that will not wither, that will always be by the water, that will produce fruit in its season, that will always prosper. Why do some people prosper more than others? I'm telling you why. It's simple. It's not about what they have. It's about what they do with what they have. You see, because the person with the five and the person with the two, watch this, they both received the same blessing. God didn't say to the five, well, you know, you're better than the two, so I'll give you more. He actually blessed them the same way. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with the little, so I'll make you, let's read it. Are you there? Are you there this morning? I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You see, today, it doesn't matter what you have. It matters what you're doing with what you have. You see, the one who had the one, what he did was this. He said, I recognize you're a strong Lord. And I recognize the word is there is harsh. But it means one that is stern. And what he's going to do is what he's going to do. It's his stuff. How many of you recognize God as the owner? I said, how many of you recognize God as the owner? Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. So whether we see God, and he is, for God is love, but the truth is that there will always be a reckoning for what we have done with the one who gave us from his own goods. And so here the one guy, he decided, he said, well, you know, I know you've been stern, so I went and hid my talent. I buried my talent. I tell you, there wasn't much that ticked the Lord off more than that. He didn't just... Well, you know, I see that you're weak-minded. No, he didn't say that. Well, you know, I see that you don't have a lot of boldness. No, he didn't say that. He said, you didn't do anything with what I gave you? He said, listen, what you have, I'm giving to the one who already has. And now I'm not only taking it from you, but he said, I'm not even connected to you. Now, this is Christianity we don't like to talk about. I want to welcome the Heaths, brand new married yesterday. Congratulations. This is the Christianity we don't like to talk about. Because if you've ever read John chapter 15, it says if there's no fruit on your branches, he cuts you off and throws you in the fire. Shh, don't tell anybody. You see, I'm not afraid of you. I have a good godly fear of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not handling my word, I'm handling his word. And this is how the kingdom of heaven works. God is calling us to be fruit producers. You know, when I worked at the apple farm, one thing that we would do is there were certain trees that were produced more apples than others. And so we would mark those trees. There were some trees that no matter what we did, no matter how much insecticide, no matter how much stuff we put on the tree, it just never seemed to produce much. In fact, was many times that they were the worst apples, but yet they would drop to the ground and we would pick up the drops and we would press cider. But we always recognized the greater fruit-producing trees. Why? Because they were the ones that were going to make the most money, bring the most action to the Red Apple Farm in Phillipston, Massachusetts. God is looking at our lives. And he's taking inventory of our lives. There's something called the Book of Life. Has anybody ever heard of the Book of Life? The Book of Life, there are two books in heaven. One is called the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is written in it or not. And the other is the Book of Works. And the Bible says that each one of us will give an account Not for our sins, because our sins have been washed away if you're a believer. Shout amen. But we'll give an account for our works and our words. You see, today, if we looked at our lives and we take inventory like we did of the certain trees at the Red Apple Farm, are there any apples on our tree? Is there any fruit on our tree? Could anybody walk up to us and pick Jesus from our tree? Are we doing anything for the kingdom of God that is going to last beyond just our own sucking of air? There's no condemnation here, because this right here comes down to recognition. Because when you recognize how big a tree you're called to be, when you recognize how powerful and how feeding and how shading and how glorious that God wants to do in your life, it is not one of saying, oh my goodness, you know, I'm just a loser, I'm not doing it. No, you go, you know what? I want all that God has for me. I want to be all that Jesus has for me to be. I don't want to just stay a stunted tree over in the corner of Christianity. But God, I want to be a man and a woman who's filled with the Holy Ghost, who has the flowing of the innermost part of our body, that Holy Spirit. I want to be that tree planted by the water. I want my fruit to come forth in its season. I want people to be able to say, yes. Yes, I know they love God. Yes, I know they do great things for the kingdom. And I just want to brag on you as the body of Christ. I don't care where I go. I don't care what official I've talked to. They all say the same thing about you. That's us, His Tabernacle Family Church. You're bringing change to this region. We are a tree that people are plucking from. We are a tree that they're recognizing the fruit. We are a tree that's bringing glory to God as a body. But how much more could we do for the kingdom of God if every one of us started growing some fruit? What are we doing for Jesus? When rubber hits the road, what are we doing for Jesus? You know, some person said to me, well, you know, Pastor, I'm just one of those quiet people. I just want to clean the bathrooms, or I just want to welcome people at the door. I'd rather be out in the parking lot parking people. But you know something? It's not about what you've been given. Because no matter what you've been given, you'll get the same reward if you've been faithful. It's about what you're doing with what you've been given. The question today is, if you had to take inventory of your tree, is there any fruit on the tree? Did anybody come and take from your life this year? We're almost 6 months in, by the way. What did they get from you that's eternal? What wealth were they able to grab a hold of? You see, because what I love so much about... That is juicy. That's good. See, when you bite into something that's nutritional, that's tasty, that's refreshing, you always want to come back to that tree. What are you doing for Jesus? If already 6 months have almost gone by, what have you done for Jesus? You see, that's the question that we all want to ask before He comes back. That's the question we all want to ask before He comes back. Because once He comes back, you can't say, whoops, let me go back and redo that. No reincarnation. What free tree fruit are you producing? In your chairs right now, there's a thing called Get Connected. Reach down and grab it out of your chair, please. If you flip that over, you know what you're going to see? Just a few of the ministries of His Tabernacle Family Church. Just a few of them. Are you doing anything? Are you adding to the orchard? You see, because one thing that I've recognized is this. The larger the orchard, the more production you'll have. The smaller the orchard, the smaller and the least you can do. Today I have a question for you. If you had to write your name on that piece of paper, which I'd like you to do right now. That was a key to write your name on the paper. Are you doing anything to be a fruit producer where you're planted as a church? It doesn't mean that you've got to be standing behind the pulpit. It doesn't mean that you're going to be one that's teaching a class. It might be that you're a bus monitor. It might be that you're coming in and helping feed. My brother-in-law, Michael, he goes and he cooks for the Wednesday night crew. Comes in and cooks for them. It's important to recognize that you do something for Jesus. Can you imagine if we all put our hands to the plow? Can you imagine if fruit all started coming from our tree in the vision of God? What could be accomplished? Do you know how quickly we need to move forward to see God bring the last end time revival for salvation in this region? I believe it's coming. And I believe He needs a working kingdom. What are you doing? Well, you know, Pastor, I just don't feel led to do anything. If you want to feel led, grab a pencil. Well, I gave and I gave and I'm just tired. Really, you're tired? Don't become weary in well-doing. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit and you won't become weary. I had a pastor say to me, Pastor, don't you need a sabbatical? You've been ministering there 18 years. Don't you need to go on a sabbatical? Don't you need to maybe take a few months off and go walk in the woods and find yourself? No, I'm not lost. I get a hold of the feet of Jesus every morning, and I talk with Him, and I walk with Him. I get my filling. I don't give you out of my need. I give you out of my excess. What are you doing for Jesus? What are you doing for Jesus? Is every kind of ministry you could ever imagine in this church. Well, are you desperate for workers? We're never desperate, for we pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. But for goodness sakes, why would you want to have your one and bury it? Be a fruit producer. And you'll never get greater joy and peace than watching a life change because you put your hand to the plow and you did something for the kingdom of God. Whether it's seen or not seen, you know you put your hand to the plow. There was a man, and I'll end with this. I've gone late. There was a man who we put out that we were doing the renovations back here. And one individual wrote a check for the entire thing. You'll never know his name. But he knows his name. And the amount of children that are ministered to right back there, he's going to get a record for those kids. Because he provided for those kids. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're in the foyer, whether you're just shaking hands, no matter what you're doing for ministry, an usher, no matter what you're doing for the ministry, put your hand to the plow. Do something for Jesus. Turn to someone and say, you got to do something for Jesus. Come on, tell somebody, you got to do something for Jesus. Father, I thank you that this morning, Lord, as we fill these sheets out, God, as we check where we want to participate, where we want to be a fruit producer, God, no matter whether it's visual or, Lord, one that be invisible, maybe somebody cleaning the toilets, maybe somebody washing the rugs. Father, I know this. Where there are more workers, you always send more people. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that this church will be filled with people that hunger and thirst to please you. That, Father, you will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. I've trusted you with little. Now I will trust you and give you dominion over much. Father, we be people that do great things for your kingdom. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed and no one looking around, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. And you're saying, well, I haven't even stepped into the kingdom yet. I need to be saved. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you want him to wash your sins away. You want to be part of the kingdom of God. Today, I have the best friend you'll ever meet. His name is Jesus. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll give you understanding of why you are who you are and give you great purpose and design. Today, if you need Jesus as your Savior, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone this morning that wants Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life? Come on, we're not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3, 2, last call, 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Those papers you have in your hand, if you'll wave them to me. Very good. Today, when you leave this place, I want you to go drop them off at the hub. Not empty, by the way. I want you to be so powerful in the kingdom of God. I want you to recognize how important you are. So please, don't allow your tree to remain bare. Do something for Jesus. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Father, release a blessing over the house in the name of Jesus. I thank you that every one of us have been called to seek and to save them which are lost. I thank you, God, this week we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God, we thank you that this week we'll share your gospel that will transform a life. We thank you that this week, Jesus, you'll move in our lives and have people choose the fruit that's on our tree. Lord, I ask that you'll bless us in everything we do in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. I want to remind, if you're a guest this morning, we have a guest reception. We'd love to meet you. Grab the person that brought you and head on over. We just want to say hello to you. We love you. Be a fruit producer. Make sure you head your way right to the hub and hand off your production.